The world's a better place because you are here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. I am so happy to see you. I have a new outlook, no beard, and I'm feeling great, and we are about to start a great era of this podcast. It is a big night, Thursday night. The NFL draft will commence from Detroit, Michigan, as we kick off the next phase of the NFL season. We already went through the free agency period. We talked about the trades with this great man. Now let's break down the first round of the NFL draft. And don't worry, we will react to it a week from today as well. Kevin Schaefer, a.k.a. Spanky, is with me to discuss the NFL draft in 2024. Kevin, great to see you, my friend.
Excited to be here and share what is my final mock for the podcast, but I'm really excited to go over it. I think there's a lot of things that are going to surprise people.
I could truly say that you have the most valuable opinion in the NFL to me, Kevin, and I'm not just saying that. Next to the obviously the professionals, and as we are on our way to become them, I value your opinion in this, so I'm very excited to see what you have to say, whether I agree or disagree, and I'm sure others will as well. So let's get to it. The way this show is going to work, we're going to go through the first round Thursday night, all the first 32 picks. Not all 32 teams are picking, but in the first round, but we'll obviously address that. We'll talk about the trades that are that we project will come through. I should say, Kevin, this is all Kevin, by the way. This is all Kevin's first round mock draft. We'll talk about the possible trade scenarios, people moving up, moving back, all that stuff. So we'll go through all 32 rounds. Check in the description if your team, if your team's pick is there, as you will see clearly, as we always do. And let's start it. Let us mock draft the 2024 NFL draft round one. All right, Kevin, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. It goes without saying, as per usual, every single season, we usually know who the first overall pick is going to be. So I'll let you say that one, Kevin. And I'm sure we will hold no surprises, or maybe. But Kevin, I assume you're going to go with Caleb Williams as your first overall pick, like everybody else, like everybody has been saying for the past 2 years. And I have a clip for 2022 on this show talking about Caleb Williams with my friend Danny Lynch, who worked at the Pac-12 network at the time. So here it is. Caleb Williams' time. Am I right?
I have Caleb Williams one. This year is a really crazy draft. You know, every year you hear the analysts say, this draft really starts at 5 or 6 or 7 because you have the first three to six picks are usually locked in, pretty good, at least as close to locked in as you can be. And this year, I think the draft starts at 2. I don't think anyone really has a clue where Washington's going, but number one, Caleb Williams, been said for 2 years now, like you said, and that's the pick. I'm not as high on him as everyone else is. I don't think his play translates to the NFL, but I think the Bears are going to take him there.
Absolutely. Yeah, pretty much you answered my one question I have is, where do you see him going? And we've seen he's won a Heisman Trophy, but we have seen him have some flaws, especially this past season with USC. He was the only good thing to talk about with that team. And he dropped some pretty big games. Maybe some people worry about his emotions behind the scenes. He has a very unique personality compared to other projected picks. And especially with this draft in particular, this is really the first NFL draft where we see major NIL players coming into fold. And seeing how they transition to the pros is going to be very interesting.
Well, I mean, in the Pac-12 doesn't play defense. Everyone knows this. So he's been playing inferior defenses in the Pac-12. I mean, obviously he was in Oklahoma and he lit it up there, but I don't think his style of play translates. I mean, he's very keen on escaping out of the back of the pocket, you know, which is one of my team's quarterback, Zach Wilson's, one of his biggest flaws is escaping out of the back of the pocket and creating problems for himself. He loves to play off schedule, but when you watch the games, it doesn't always look like he's reading the defense. So that's a big concern for me. But again, he's the number one pick. You know, everywhere you have questions, some people are saying maybe it's McCarthy, maybe it's May, but Caleb Williams will be the number one pick on Thursday night. I think that one's already set up.
Yeah, that's pretty much a guarantee. And as we get closer to the season and seeing what Chicago gets in the for the rest of the draft, we can talk later down the road, especially when we get closer to the actual season on where it'll go. So as you mentioned in a great transition, you said this draft really starts at pick number two. And the second overall pick is going to the Washington Commanders. And they've had a pretty much, they've had a terrible decade. I think only two postseason appearances since. Haven't had a real established quarterback since, geez, I don't know off the top of my head. It's been a long time, but this is their opportunity. Number two, new ownership, new head coach in Dan Quinn, a true restart. And where do you think they're going to go with the second overall pick?
Well, the last couple of days, there's been a lot of smoke about A, Jaden Daniels not wanting to play there. You know, Jaden himself has said he'd love to play for the Raiders. But the smoke has been J.J. McCarthy the last couple of days, and I think they're going to go ahead and pick J.J. McCarthy, national championship winner. He's only lost three games since between high school and college. I mean, he's a pro-style quarterback. And I think that's who they're going to come out and pick is J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, that's a big twist for everyone. You know, everyone's been saying Mayor Daniels here for the last couple months. But I think the smoke is real about J.J. McCarthy to the Washington Commanders.
So one of the things, it was interesting, you know, all college football season, you know, we gave our props to J.J. McCarthy, but we didn't see him as a first rounder, let alone being the second overall pick. Where do you think this all came from? Do you think a lot of people felt at Michigan he was somebody who would just leave it to the running game and it was the defense who really won the national championship? But, you know, he's shown some poise. I know he's had a great collegiate career. But I'm sure you could agree, not a lot of us saw him coming in the first round up to until about a couple months ago. Why do you think all this love for J.J. McCarthy all of a sudden? And do you think it's going to translate to being a pro?
Well, to me, out of the top four between May, Daniels, Caleb, and him, he's the most pro-ready. Yes, they relied on the run game. No, he was not asked to make the big throws. But you look at his pro day, and he can make the big throws. At the combine, he made the big throws. And I think he was doing what he was asked of. And when he was asked to make a throw, when he was asked to make a play, he did. I also think he has much more athleticism than people are giving him credit for. I think he has great escapability out of the pocket. And I think he'll be the best of those four, Caleb, McCarthy, Daniels, and May. I don't have any of those four as my top-rated quarterback in this draft, but I think McCarthy will be the best of those four.
I respect it. And, yeah, you know, I'll admit, at first, I didn't really see it. I agree with you. I pretty much said what I felt my criticisms were, but there's been plenty of quarterbacks who have proven me wrong, and I'm willing to trust to see them where Washington goes. And I guess if it doesn't work out, you know, it's been worse for them. So you might as well see what all the hype's about. And I do understand the pro day is really good. So we'll go from there. So moving on, the third overall pick is going to the New England Patriots right now. But I think things are a little different from what we talked about before. Do you think the Patriots, where do you see the Patriots selecting for the third overall pick?
I think the Patriots also love McCarthy. And I think if he's off the board and they get a good offer, they're going to move back. Mm-hmm. And he's off the board here. And I have the Raiders trading up for Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
The Raiders want him. He wants to be a Raider. He was just passed on with the number two overall pick. Again, I think the Patriots love McCarthy. And I think they're going to trade back with the Raiders here. And Jaden Daniels will be the pick for Las Vegas.
All right. So we saw right now Antonio Pierce comes in interim at first, and now he is the full-time coach and did what he can with Aiden O'Connell. Obviously, Jimmy G didn't work out. For a defensive-minded head coach, you think that he's able to get him on his side and, you know, revitalize what the Raiders have been longing for in trying to win again?
Well, I don't really see Pierce as just a defensive-minded coach. I think everything you heard from the locker room, everything you saw on the field last year, I think he's a leader of men, and I think those are the best coaches in the NFL. I think when you have a coach who's, I have the defense, hands off their offensive coordinator to take care of the offense or vice versa, that's where you see things not working out. I think it's the guys that can really relate to the players and be a leader of men that get their guys to go out and play for them. And when you're not just playing for yourselves, you're not playing for the team, you're playing for the coach too, I think that's a huge advantage as an NFL football team. And I think Pierce really is a leader of men, and I think they're going to be really good this year. I don't think Daniels is going to start right away. I think he's going to sit for at least 2, 3, 4 weeks. I think they're going to roll with Gardner Minshew, but I think by the bye week, he will take over as the starter, but I don't think he's going to start week one.
Yeah, we've seen traditionally that pretty much the first rounders are going to play at least in the first season, if not start already. Most of them start right away only because, you know, how competitive things are. They want to get the person they're excited for. But you say they'll be patient with it, and it seems like Antonio Pierce, especially with the leaders among men and the positive reception from the locker room, that they'll wait it out if they need to. And Gardner did great for the Colts, and he's pretty much been great everywhere he's been. So good risk, I would think.
Well, I think they're going to give Daniels a chance to get acclimated and, you know, sit and learn a little bit. And I do think he will play this year. I think he'll make his first start before or after the bye week. But I think they're going to start Minshew to begin the season and let ease Daniels into that role.
All right. Good stuff for the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. Now, we have the Arizona Cardinals at 4. Seems like they are going to stick with Kyler Murray. As we talked about this, especially this special quarterback draft class, do you see somebody getting drafted to compete with Kyler, or do you see them trying to add to their offense, their defense, something different? What do you think Arizona's doing for a franchise who's had a rough couple of
years? I think if Jaden Daniels makes it to this pick, they're going to have a tough decision. But with him off the board, I think they're going to go wide receiver. They're desperately in need of a wide receiver. And it's going to shock a lot of people. I think it's Malik Nabers, not Marvin Harrison Jr.
Dude, tell us why. Because obviously everybody who knows football, people say that Marvin Harrison Jr. is one of the most highly proficient and most anticipated wide receivers coming out of the coming into the NFL draft in years. Why do you say Nabers over him?
Well, first of all, I think Nabers is a better fit for what the Cardinals are doing. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a fantastic receiver, but he's not your over-the-top guy. He's not the deep threat. Nabers is a real downfield threat, and I think they're going to want to stretch the field this year. And to be honest, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a very good prospect. He's a very good wide receiver. But Nabers had the better numbers, much better numbers this year. And you don't know if that's due to quarterback play between Kyle McCord and Jaden Daniels, but Nabers was the better receiver this year on film, the better deep downfield receiver, which is what the Cardinals are going to look to do, and he had better numbers. So I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. is a lock to go as the first receiver, and I think the Cardinals stick and pick Malik Nabers.
Very bold choice, and I respect it from the LSU wide receiver. Good stuff there. Now moving on, the 5th overall pick is going to the Los Angeles Chargers. Brand new coach, Jim Harbaugh. You and I talked about how they were a major loser during the free agency period. But now with the chance to restart and have that in the past, what do you think they are going to do?
Well, I think Harbaugh tore down his roster. He wants to build this roster the way that he wants to build it. And I think the first step to that is a trade down here. I think he's going to look to add more picks. He knows the college game really well, being down there the last couple of years. So I think he's going to look to add young talent around Justin Herbert and make a push in the next 2 years. Not this year specifically, but next year, the year after. So I think they're going to trade down with the Minnesota Vikings, who are obviously looking for a quarterback. And they're going to get those two first-round picks, the 11th and the 23rd. And I have the Vikings coming up to draft Drake May, who I think has been their quarterback crush the entire time.
You know, a lot of people feel that Harbaugh is going to win in Los Angeles. It might take a couple years, but they really feel like he will turn that franchise around. And you say Drake May is the quarterback to be behind that.
No. I have the Vikings trading
up. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. Switching that up, I misread that. So we talked about the Chargers going down despite that, but now with the Vikings in a transition from Kirk Cousins, I should say, figuring out, but they're likely going to sign Justin Jefferson to a long-term deal, and you say Drake May is the one to revitalize the Vikings, who not too long ago was obviously a big playoff team and a major threat.
Well, I think Drake May really fits Kevin O'Connell's system. You know, a bigger athletic quarterback. He can make all the throws. He's very good at reading a defense. He has good timing, and he has a great pocket presence. And I think that's big for the Kevin O'Connell system. And, you know, you lose Kirk Cousins, you have to get a quarterback. I mean, Sam Darnold will be a good bridge quarterback, but next year's class is not as good. And if a guy like Drake May falls to the fifth or sixth pick, you have two first-rounders. That's why you went out and got a second first-rounder, so that you could move up specifically for a quarterback. And I think Drake May was that guy all along.
I respect it. Good stuff there. And, you know, with these trades, you expect just a general that these trades would be made during draft day? You don't expect maybe in the next 2 days they would make the trade anyways. You expect them more to happen during the draft. Not that it matters, but.
Well, I think these guys, it's very different than in past years, you know, like where the Jets traded up for Sam Darnold a couple days before the draft.
Right.
You know, hoping to get one of the top quarterbacks. I think a lot of these people trading up have a specific guy in mind, and a lot of these people trading down had a specific guy in mind, and when the board doesn't fall their way, they're willing to move up or down. So I think these will be draft day trades.
Makes a ton of sense. All right, let's move on. The 6th overall pick goes to the New York Football Giants after a very disappointing season and figuring out what they're going to do with Daniel Jones exactly. I think this is a very interesting pick. Obviously, no bias aside, being a Giants fan, at this moment. Despite an interesting free agency period, people still don't know what direction the team's actually going. But let me ask you, where do you think the Giants are going?
Well, I think if Drake May or even any of the top four quarterbacks had made it to this pick, that would be their pick. I wouldn't be surprised if they're one of the teams that makes a jump up for a quarterback on Thursday. That being said, the way the board's fallen, all top four quarterbacks are off the board. Now you have to look at it and say, Daniel Jones or Drew Lock is our quarterback next year. We need to give them everything we can to succeed, and they're going to go with my number two wide receiver. Everyone else's consensus number one, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, you know that would excite a lot of Giants fans. Ever since Odell unceremoniously got traded to the Browns, the Giants haven't had a true number one. Darius Slayton never got to be that guy. There really is no Daniel Jones associated receiver ever. So if we could pull that off, obviously a lot of people be very happy for an offense that has been so, so deprived of anything exciting, especially losing our most exciting offensive player in the offseason in Saquon Barkley.
Well, I think even if Harrison and Neighbors are off the board, they'll take Odunze. I think they're going wide receiver all the way unless one of those top four quarterbacks makes it to them or they move up for a quarterback. If they stick and pick and the quarterbacks are off the board, it's going to be a wide receiver.
Yeah, and ultimately with Daniel Jones, though, in this contract, which every single person loves to make fun of as getting the $40 million a year, the Giants have a team option for after this season. And to be fair with Daniel Jones, I think, and because they want him to succeed so bad and they want to justify that deep contract, you have to figure out ways to get him to make his job as easy as possible. And if you could get an explosive wide receiver amongst that, it only makes things more exciting and something we definitely need.
Well, so a quick note on the Giants, and something I wouldn't rule out, because they went and got Waller to be the focal point of their offense. I wouldn't rule out Brock Bowers at this number six pick here. I wouldn't. Dabble clearly wants, you know, a really good tight end. They brought in Waller, but he's, you know, his past his years was injured, didn't work out. So I wouldn't rule out Brock Bowers here. I really wouldn't, because if Dabble's dead set on having a tight end be the focal point and he thinks Bowers is that guy, I wouldn't rule it out. Even with, you know, maybe a trade down for with the Jets or Chicago to come up and get a wide receiver, they might move down a couple spots and consider Bowers.
Man, again, that would excite us. It'll all come coming in. And we'd also just get Daniel Jones protected because he's been very injury prone. And if he's going to go out with the bang in this team option year, got to give him every single option to protect him and weapons to get yards for him. So let's continue on. And especially also Daboll too, with people feeling maybe his job could be on the hot seat if this turns into another complete disaster. So lots to pay attention to with Big Blue. So the seventh overall pick goes into the Tennessee Titans. Also, amongst major changes, what do you think is going to happen in Tennessee?
Well, again, I think they're going to roll with Will Levis as their quarterback. I think that's their guy. And, you know, they have DeAndre Hopkins. They have Treylon Burks, who they took a couple years ago. He hasn't panned out so far, but you need to keep Will Levis upright. So I think they're going offensive tackle here. I've had them going offensive tackle in every mock I've made for the last 2 months, and I think they're taking my number one offensive tackle, Joe Alt.
Oh, yeah.
Just an absolute freak of nature, massive guy who can move. I think he can play left tackle in the NFL at a very high quality, and I think that's going to be their pick.
It reminds me of like a Quentin Nelson and people who are really high on him going in the draft. Good stuff from there. So right now the Atlanta Falcons have the 8th overall pick. There are rumors they may be penalized for allegedly tampering with Kirk Cousins to bring him in. May or may not happen, but as of this moment, the Falcons have the 8th overall pick. What are they going to do?
They are going to trade down in this scenario. Romo Dunze is still on the board, and my Jets are going to come up and get him.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have question marks with Mike Williams. Who knows if he's going to be ready week 1? Who knows how long he's going to last? I mean, everyone calls him injury prone, but he's only missed more than 2 games in 2 seasons that he's played his entire career. But he is coming off an ACL injury. You can never count him in for week 1, and who knows, you know, if he's going to get hurt again. And then, again, you're stuck with Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard. So I think the Jets are going to come up and get a real 1B to Garrett Wilson's 1A and just give Aaron Rodgers another opportunity to score points. That defense is going to do its thing like it did last year, and the Jets need to score points. So I think they're going to go with the wide receiver, and I think they're going to jump Chicago to get their guy.
Oh, man, that would be a bold moment right there. And you know there needs to be a solid number 2 next to Garrett Wilson. And Mike Williams has that too. And then you can add a major slot receiver with a returning Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure this is a special time for you, Kevin, that this they might have might do read excuse me, they might redo their wrongs and finally be something after one of the more disappointing seasons.
Well, I think they're targeting a Marvin Harrison, a Malik Nabers, a Romo Dunze, because they are traditional X receivers, outside receivers, because I think they want to get Garrett Wilson in the slot more. They want to get him in favorable matchups on nickel cornerbacks, on linebackers, and they want to get a bigger guy with some speed on the outside opposite Mike Williams so they can get Garrett Wilson in the slot.
All right, good move there. So right now we have the Chicago Bears with a top 10 pick, picking number 9. What's going to happen?
Well, this is, everyone's going to call me crazy for this one, but I've loved this for the last 2 weeks or so, and I think they're going to take Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. You know, everyone says they just paid Cole Kmet $50 million. They need to add another weapon for Caleb Williams. And right now they have Keenan and they have DJ Moore. And I think Brock Bowers is going to slide in as basically a third receiver for them, because you're going to have Cole. And how are you going to guard that? I mean, you have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen on the outside, Brock Bowers in the slot, and then you still have Cole Kmet as an inline tight end. You can't cover all four of them. Someone's going to be open. I think they would like to go wide receiver here, but if the board falls in a way that the top three are off the board, I think Brock Bowers will be their pick, because it's just another weapon for Caleb Williams.
Dude, I have to say, this has been some roster turnaround. For the Chicago Bears, going from what they were, obviously, lucking out with Carolina being the worst team in the NFL to have the first pick of the ninth pick, but things weren't too pretty over there. And what they have been able to make in this offseason, and if you could get Brock Bowers, who so many people really feel could be the next great tight end, they really might have some things to they might really shock some people this next season.
Well, I mean, especially with their division. Bowers all over the field. I mean, you can put him on the outside, move DJ Moore to the slot, put him on the other outside, move Keenan Allen to the slot. You can go 12 personnel and put both him and Cole Kmet as inline tight ends. And he's so versatile that I don't think them paying a tight end rules him out, because he's not just a tight end. He's a receiver too. He has great run after the catch ability, and I think he would be a fantastic fit in that offense.
And his blocking, can you just give a quick scouting report on that?
He's not a George Kittle. He's not going to go out there and he's not going to win blocks for you in the run game. But that's why you have Cole Kmet. Okay. And that's why I think you can take him here and be happy that you're still going to have an inline blocking tight end in Cole Kmet. But now you have to bring another linebacker over to watch Bowers, because Bowers is going to be on the opposite side, or he's going to be in the slot, and you have to give him special attention, which is going to open up your run game even more, because now you have a good blocker in Cole Kmet, who's going to have less people in the box against him, because people are going to have to count for Bowers.
I see. So you see him like a Travis Kelce, most popular tight end right there, like a true receiving, an extra weapon, if you will. For that offense. Good stuff there. So the Jets have the 10th overall pick, but going by your mock and what you mentioned before, that the Falcons and Jets would switch. So with the Falcons picking at 10, where do you think they're going to go?
I think this is the worst kept secret in the draft. The Falcons love Leiatu Latu. I think they love him. The UCLA pass rusher. He's not the top of everyone's board. He's the top of my board at the edge position. And I think they love him. And I think that's who they're going to pick here.
All right. And you expect him to make I've heard a lot of other good things, another NFL ready player. Do you think this guy can make a big impact right away?
His pro comp for me is Bryce Huff. I think he's going to come out and he's going to be an immediate third down pass rusher. He needs work in the run game, but I think he's going to be an immediate nightmare for quarterbacks off the edge.
All right. I can't wait to see. Now, let's talk about the 11th overall pick right now with the Vikings, again, trading with the Chargers in this to keep this going. Where do you see the Chargers, who traded down for 11? What's going to happen with them?
They hated the way this board fell. They really did. All the wide receivers are gone. Brock Bowers is gone. They do need help up front. Jim Harbaugh is a run heavy coach, and I think they're going to go with Troy Fatanu. He has versatility as a tackle and a guard. He can play inside or outside, and I think he gives them a big boost to their run game and their pass protection on day one.
All right, good. Now, if we look at the 12th overall pick, right now going to the Denver Broncos, who clearly need a lot of help, But could they do something with this pick?
I think they're going to trade down.
Okay. Why is
I
that?
I think they do need a lot of help, and they've given up a lot of draft capital to get Peyton, to get Russell, who's now gone. And I think they're going to try and recoup some picks, and they're going to trade down with the Eagles. And I have the Eagles coming up for my number one corner, who's going to be and I wouldn't even call him a corner. He's going to be a money back, a lot like Tyrann Mathieu. I think he's going to play some safety. He's going to play some nickel corner. He's going to play in the box as a linebacker sometimes. Cooper DeJean from Iowa.
And we saw that the biggest weakness on the Eagles defense was the defensive backs and corners. They tried to trade for one, and it just didn't work out. This seems like a pick that they would desperately need to work out if they're going to pick a defensive back that high.
And I have other corners rated higher than him as a true corner, mm-hmm. but I think the Eagles are going to love his versatility, and that's why they're going to come up to get him. And it's been rumored that they're looking to trade up, that it's been all over the place. They want to move up, and I think it's for this guy because he gives them so much versatility. They need a safety. They need a nickel corner. They could use help at the linebacker position, and he's going to be able to help at all three spots.
Makes a ton of sense. Now, Lucky 13 right now goes to the Las Vegas Raiders, but going with this mock, you mentioned that they would trade down with the Patriots. So having the Patriots picking at 13, what's going to happen there?
Well, and they're going to take my number one quarterback in this draft, Michael Penix Jr.
Thank you.
I love Michael. I mean, he's been a winner. He has all the tools. Injuries are a concern, and they've hampered him. But he actually just put out a statement saying, you know, I'm glad that I had gotten injured, torn my ACL. It brought me to where I am today. I've faced that adversity, and I've worked through it, and it shows that I have what it takes. And I think the Patriots love J.J. McCarthy, and I think if they don't get to him, like I said, they're going to move down, recoup some picks, and they're going to get who I think is one of their top three quarterbacks on their board, Michael Penix.
Yeah, Spank, this is my favorite quarterback in this draft. This is somebody I followed very closely this season, especially the first season covering college football on this show. And just seeing him giving what's left of the Pac-12 and seeing how good he was in the pocket. Obviously, he likes something maybe a little different in the lefty. And a Heisman Trophy finalist, I really think a lot of people are undermining him and worrying about the injuries a little bit too much. And even if he goes to a Patriots franchise, I do think I think he'll do very well. I think he's going to be a great pro and very underrated.
I think he fits. I mean, Gerard Mayo is a player and a coach under Bill Belichick. So I don't see them straying from the Belichick way, the Patriot way very much. And I think him and JJ are the two quarterbacks that fit that Patriot way the best. They're the two most mature quarterbacks in the draft. They come from pro-ready offenses, and I think they're gonna trade back and take Penix.
Good stuff. All right, 14th overall pick goes to the New Orleans Saints. An interesting franchise to see what they're doing after a down year. What's happening with the Saints?
Well, if the board falls differently, I wouldn't be shocked to see them take Penix or a different quarterback here.
Ooh.
But seeing how it's fallen, the top five guys are off the board. They're going to go with offensive line help. They lost Pete this year. And they're going to go with Omunua Bashanu.
Right, we'll start with the pronunciations throughout. But you say this, you know, obviously they signed Derek Carr last year. Had problems staying on and off the field, was okay, but you think that they would even be ready to move on from him?
Well, I think it's a very similar situation to Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. They paid for what they thought they were getting, and they didn't get it. And I think there's a chance if someone falls, they may move up, or if someone falls to them that they like, they may take them, but they don't, so they're going to have to rock with Derek Carr with the money they've guaranteed him. And that he needs offensive line help. Part of the reason why he wasn't as good last year, why he couldn't stay on the field, is because their offensive tackles were not very good. So they're going to go out and get the number two rated offensive tackle here on the board, and they're going to give him some protection, and we'll see where they reevaluate next year.
They need it. They really need it. And I can't wait to see what happens there. So with the 50th overall pick going to the Indianapolis Colts, what can they do to try to ramp things up and get things more exciting in Indy for the football team besides being excited for the women's basketball? What could the football team do to excite people in Indy?
Well, I think Anthony Richardson is going to prove to be a top 10 quarterback this year. I'm very high on Anthony Richardson. I had him as my number one quarterback last year. And I think if he hadn't gotten injured, he would have proved that he was on the same level as Stroud. He needs weapons. They would love to get Brock Bowers. And I wouldn't be surprised if they move up for him. Again, the way the board's fallen, a lot of wide receivers, Bowers off the board. They're going to take Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU.
Mm-hmm. And you think him and Pittman are going to be a great duo together with that?
I think they're going to complement each other very well. Pittman is a Michael Thomas type of wide receiver. You know, you get him the ball on a slant, he's going to make catches. He's going to catch 50-50 balls. Now you're going to add Brian Thomas Jr., who is a yak guy. He's going to get yards after the catch. You're going to get him out. You're going to get him the ball on screens. You're going to get him the ball on end arounds. You're going to get him the ball deep. He is a very well-rounded wide receiver, but his yak ability is going to be what's going to make them take him. Because that's what they're looking for. He's going to complement Michael Pittman very well, which is why I think they like Bowers. They want that yards after the catch. So with Bowers gone, I think Brian Thomas is going to be their pick.
Yeah, and adding a full season, hopefully Jonathan Taylor healthy and not beefing with the owner, Colts might get some good glory going again. So we have the Seahawks in the post-Pete Carroll era. What are they going to do with their 16th overall pick?
They need defensive line help, and I think they're going to take Jared Verse from Florida State. A lot of people have Dallas Turner as the number one guy on their board, but I think Jared Verse fits their scheme better. He can play inside. He can play outside. Verse is very much a wide nine technique guy. He's an outside guy specifically. Verse is going to be able to come in and play inside and outside and really be versatile for them. So I think they're going to take him.
Unintended there. And the 17th overall pick is going to the Jacksonville Jaguars with the weird stuff going on there. Do you think they'll make a weird pick, or do you think they'll add something valuable?
Well, I don't even think they're going to make the 17th pick. Again, now you have the top four wide receivers off the board. They do need wide receiver help. They also need some help on the defense. But I think they're going to move back here because it's a very deep wide receiver class. If they can add, you know, an extra pick in the second or third round, they're going to be able to get that wide receiver help. And I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are going to try and really build around Baker this year, are going to move up for defensive end.
Oh, okay, okay. Make that push, get that pressure.
I think they're coming up for Dallas Turner. I think Dallas Turner is going to be huge for their defense. He's going to take that Shaq Barrett role. He's going to be a very good edge rusher. He has very good run defense skills, and I think he's going to be very good for them this coming year. And they're going to come up and get him to add to that defense to give Baker some support.
I like that. Good stuff. Now, the 18th overall pick with a returning Joe Burrow. Hopefully he can make it to the full season. What can they do to make his life easier on the offensive side, or maybe the defensive side can help the Bengals out as well? The Bengals, what are they going to do?
This is another team I love for Brock Bowers. There's a lot of teams in this draft that I would love to see Brock Bowers play for. Again, board didn't fall their way. They could move up for him, but I think they have to go offensive tackle if they're not going Brock Bowers. So I'm going to take my number three tackle, Talese Fuaga.
And you think he's going to help properly get that protection that Joe Burrow has seemed to have needed his whole career so far?
No, Joe Burrow is the new Andrew Luck. I mean, he's getting hurt. He's getting hit. He has great wide receivers. He's been playing very well when he can stay on the field, when he's not getting pressure. And Talese Fuaga is a pro-ready offensive tackle. He can play right or left tackle. And I think they're going to bring him in, and it's going to immediately improve the protection around Joe Burrow.
Dope, dope, dope. The 19th overall pick is going to the Los Angeles Rams. Keep the thing steady. Had some major retirements take place on their team. What's going to happen with the Rams?
I think they would love Jared Verse as a potential replacement for Aaron Donald. The board is not falling the way that some of these teams really want. So they're going to go ahead and draft Jerzon Newton from Illinois. I think Byron Murphy would have been the pick about 2 weeks ago, but with his issues off the field, Jerzon Newton's going to be their pick.
Yeah, they need to switch that up. We've seen even the littlest inconvenience, if there's a legal issue, a lot of teams might not. They might give them a chance in later rounds, but not high. So that would pan out if that's true. So
well,
now we
go- I think their Super Bowl window is still open, but not for much longer. And losing Aaron Donald in the middle of your defense is a huge loss.
Oh yeah,
your first round pick has to be to at least try and replace him. And I think Jerzon Newton, who a lot of people had as a second rounder for the last couple months, is rising up draft boards with Byron Murphy's off the field issues. And I think he's going to be the pick here for the Rams.
Good stuff. So your 20th overall pick is going to the Steelers. Going to try this with Russell Wilson, major changes. Do you think there's somebody out there who can make his life easier as well with this draft? The Pitt Steelers at 20, what's happening?
Well, obviously, with Diontae Johnson out, they need wide receiver help. I would not be surprised if the 49ers are picking here in a Brandon Ayuk trade. But I don't see it getting done on draft day. So I have them taking Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Now, a lot of people have him as the second-rated Texas receiver on the board behind Xavier Worthy, who I do love Xavier Worthy. But if you're trying to replace Diontae Johnson, you already have that deep threat, that speed guy in Pickens, who is a big guy who can move. You're going to go and get Adonai Mitchell, who is a very technical route runner, a lot like Johnson was. He's going to catch a lot of balls for them this year. And I think that's your guy. You go out and get a guy who's going to replicate what Diontae Johnson does, which is a security blanket, technical route running, and just eating receptions for your team.
Okay, good, good. I think that should all pan out, and especially with you have Tomlin getting an extension, obviously seeing what they have with Russell Wilson, and also if that doesn't work out, you have Justin Fields right behind him as well. I'm sure you believe that he can work with both quarterbacks if needed.
Well, I think Fields will be the week one starter, and I'm not even sure Russell Wilson will be on the roster come week one.
You know, I hope that's the case. I want to see Justin Fields strive. I think Russell Wilson's time has come to an end. So I hope that's true, and will be the most convenient. Could be a new big option for Fields if that is the case.
Well, I think Fields is going to beat him out in camp, and they can let Russell Wilson go for no cap charge because he's on the veteran minimum. So I think Fields will beat him out, and I think he'll be the quarterback. And I think giving him a security blanket like Adonai Mitchell is very big for the Steelers.
Would pan out just well. So moving to the 21st overall pick, we have the Miami Dolphins right there. With a tough ending and a lot of injuries this year, I'm sure that they would really like to make this a value pick and not waste it at 21. What's up with the Dolphins?
Well, I think corner is a huge need for them. And, you know, you still have cornerback 2, 3, 4 on the board, you know, top guys. But their biggest issue, their biggest loss this year was Christian Wilkins.
Yep.
And as the Miami Dolphins have shown, they are not afraid of taking guys with character and off-the-field issues. So I think they're going to go with Byron Murphy here, and he's going to immediately step into their three technique, down nose tackle guy, Christian Wilkins' role. And I think that that's going to be their first replacement. And I think they're going to look to add a corner later in the draft.
A little off topic, but not really. I was just curious what you thought. I'm sure, did you hear about Tyreek Hill on a podcast talking recently, implying, didn't say the coach's name, that he was called out after their loss to the Chiefs during the divisional round in the playoffs this year? And rightfully so, saying, why did we pay you all this money if you didn't step up? And he didn't. And I know people were talking about injury issues, but still, I was just curious what you thought about that and Tyreek Hill calling out his coach likely and Mike McDaniel.
Well, I love to hear it. Not from Tyreek calling him out, but I love to hear from McDaniel's point of view that he's not afraid to look his star wide receiver, who they paid a lot of money for, they sent a lot of draft picks for, and look him in the face and say, you're supposed to be the best wide receiver in the league. You need to play better. When we're on the road, it's a playoff matchup. You need to play better. And I love that from Mike McDaniel.
I love Mike McDaniel. And I know a lot of people have criticized him for, lack of a better word, being a very goofy guy. But I don't know if you saw Hard Knocks in season, but reckon in front of cameras, but behind the scenes for the media, he is definitely a great coach. He's extremely intelligent with a high football IQ, and he's very motivating. And somehow this scrawny little guy knows how to be a leader among men. And despite all these injuries getting him in the playoffs this year, and then last year with a quarterback three in Skylar Thompson, and almost upsetting the Bills, I really think Mike McDaniels has proven that he's a top coach in this league for years to come.
I think if they can stay healthy, they're going to be a tough team to beat this year.
Definitely. And we all know that their goal that they have to do this season is get home field advantage. So nothing but win. And the playoffs couldn't be a lot different for them. All right. Just wanted to talk about that briefly. But the 22nd overall pick is the Philadelphia Eagles. Do you see them doing anything with this?
Well, they traded this pick to the Denver Broncos when they moved up for Cooper DeJean. And I have the Broncos taking their quarterback of the future, Bo Nix, here. But I will say I did make this mock draft before the Zach Wilson trade.
Okay. Are you going to keep it or move it?
I think I would change this pick after the Zach Wilson trade, because I'm not sure that the Broncos are sold on Bo Nix. This was more of a desperation pick. They justify it by moving down, 10 slots, picking up 2 second-round picks. With the Zach Wilson trade, I think that Sean Payton is going to try and get the best out of Zach Wilson rather than spend a premium pick on a quarterback he's not sold on. I could see them taking a young quarterback in the third or fourth round, as a guy to hopefully build on. But I think they'll roll with what they have this year, and they're going to try and get the best out of Zach Wilson. Specifically because, Sean Payton has been known for taking quarterbacks who were average or bad in their previous team and didn't fit the scheme or whatever, and turning them into a better quarterback. And I think they're going to roll with Zach Wilson rather than take Bo Nix or, a Michael Pratt too high. I don't think they're going to reach now that they've added Zach Wilson.
I respect your respect for Wilson. A lot of people definitely feel that Zach Wilson is in the bust territory, but you still think that he really can figure it out and become a franchise quarterback still, despite the tough tenure for the Jets.
Well, I think he has all the tools. He really does. You look at his first 2 years with Matt LaFleur, Mike LaFleur, he did not give Wilson the opportunity to play well. Zach Wilson is playing at his best when you get him on the move. You get him rollouts, you get him outside the pocket, and they asked him to be a sit in the pocket, timing thrower, game manager, and that's not Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. And then you bring in Nate Hackett. I'm not a fan of Nate Hackett. And I think he's only an offensive coordinator and was only a head coach because he's Aaron Rodgers' buddy. And the whole point of the offense is Aaron Rodgers runs that offense. Nate Hackett might call three or four plays. Aaron Rodgers is changing that call at the line. He's going up. He's changing the call. He gets to pick the play that he wants. He's going to see things in the defense, and he's going to change it. And you can't ask Zach Wilson to do that. Not yet, at least. And if you do that, you ask him to get up there and change it, he's going to make mistakes. Or if you're calling a bad game, you're putting him in a position to not succeed. And I think if he gets with a guy like Sean Payton, who's going to put him in a more structured offense, who's going to try and play to his strengths, I think he can really play well in Denver this year.
All right. I respect it, Kevin. We'll see if that all comes to fruition. So we have the 23rd overall pick right now with the Minnesota Vikings. But going off of your mock, you believe that they're going to trade with the Chargers. So if the Chargers are picking at 23, what are they going to do?
Well, obviously they missed out on the top receivers at the top of the board. They come away with a versatile offensive tackle slash guard. They're going to have to go wide receiver here. They need a lot of wide receiver help. And again, it's going to shock people. I have them taking Ladd McConkey. I love Ladd McConkey. I think he's right up Harbaugh's alley as a wide receiver. He has great run after the catch ability, but he also runs a fantastic route tree. I mean, I think he's going to come out and he's going to be an immediate security blanket for Herbert. So now you have someone protecting Herbert, and you have a guy that he knows he's going to play that Keenan Allen role. He might even have 100 catches as a rookie. Because he's going to be a security blanket. He's going to be that third down target. And Herbert's going to find ways to get him the ball.
Well, we know how bleak the offense looks at this moment if the season started tomorrow for the Chargers. So getting a solid receiver that can turn into a star would be very convenient for the Chargers. Now we have the Dallas Cowboys picking at 24, and you know the Cowboys and all the mess they have going, an embarrassing loss to the Packers in the playoffs. How could they bounce back with their first round pick?
Well, I wouldn't hate a wide receiver here. I really wouldn't. But with Tyron Smith leaving, you have to address your left tackle position, and I think they're going to go with J.C. Latham. From Alabama, he's a big guy, fits that Tyron Smith mold, and I think he's going to be their day one starter, left tackle, protecting Dak's blindside, and I think they'll address the wide receiver position later in the draft.
All right, cool. I think that would be what they would need as well. Need to get that protection with a lot of changes going on in that offense. The Packers are picking at 25. In a year where people are really excited to see where Jordan Love goes for his sophomore season as a starter, what are they going to do?
I think they're going to sprint this card to the podium. The number one cornerback for most people, Quinyon Mitchell, is still there on the board. They need corner help opposite Jair Alexander. And the number one guy most likely on their board is still sitting there at 25. They're going to sprint that card to the podium and look towards day two.
Nice. Okay, I can see that happening. And then with the 26 overall pick, where we have a swap in our mock draft here with the Bucks and the Jags, the Jaguars are going to pick at 26. What are they going to do?
Again, this is a very deep wide receiver draft, so there's going to be opportunities to get a wide receiver on day two. So I think they're going to take Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson. Guy's just a ball hawk. He really is just a ball hawk. And their defense has been lacking a really good number one corner the last couple of years. I think the defense has been part of the problem with their struggles in Trevor Lawrence's tenure. And they're going to go out and they're going to add to that defense with a top-tier corner.
All right. So this pick was going to the Houston Texans. They made a deal with the Arizona Cardinals on this one. So the Cardinals are going to get this pick at 27, another first rounder. What can they do to add to their roster at 27?
So, I wouldn't be against a defensive player here, but Kyler Murray, had the ACL injury, didn't play much last year. You're going to need to protect him. You took Paris Johnson last year, and I think they're going to go interior offensive line. I could see the guy out of Duke here. I could see Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State here. But I think they're going to take my number one ranked center, Jackson Powers Johnson, and they're gonna fortify their interior O-line.
Okay, I like this. I like this. The Buffalo Bills are going to pick a 28. On the heel, you know, I haven't talked to you after the Diggs deal. Diggs gets traded to gets traded to Houston. They lost Gabe Davis. I'm guessing and wondering, do you think there could be, in this deep wide receiver class, could the Bills be picking a receiver since they clearly need one? Or do you think they're doing something else to add to the roster? The Bills picking at 28 steep in the first round. What's happening?
Well, I do have them picking wide receiver. And a lot of people are going to be very confused because I have Xavier Worthy falling, and he's not going to be the pick here either. I think he has questions about his hands. I think the Bills are going to go up, and they're going to take Troy Franklin from Oregon. Yeah, Diggs, his entire career has been a very good deep ball, deep threat receiver. Gets behind corners, catches the ball over the top, takes the top off of defense. And that's what Troy Franklin does. Troy Franklin is very much in that Stephon Diggs mold. I'm not saying he's going to be the same player, but he's in that mold. 6'3 receiver who can move and get down the field. Xavier Worthy could be the pick here, but I still think there's question marks about his catching skills, his hands. And we saw that last year with Quentin Johnston, who had the same question marks, but he was a very good, he's a speed demon, could get down the field. And he was not very good with Los Angeles last year because his hands held him back. And I think the Bills are going to look at that and say, we have the same concerns with Worthy, and they're going to go ahead and take Troy Franklin as their deep threat guy, their Stephon Diggs replacement.
You think this is, do you think this is a McDermott hot seat year now, especially after this trade? Maybe they, you know, clearly feels like this window's closing even more, and now getting rid of one of the top receivers on your in the entire league, despite the personal issues that seemed to be going on, that they had to get rid of this dead weight that was holding the team back. Do you feel like maybe if this doesn't work out, McDermott's gone?
Well, it's hard to say a coach who's been to the playoffs almost every year since he took over is on the hot seat. But I think so. I think I said the same thing about Lamar in one of our previous podcasts about Lamar being on the hot seat with the Ravens because they can't get over the hump. He's not winning the playoffs. And it comes down to the Bills again. They have not gotten over that hump yet. This is a team that every year has been picked as Super Bowl favorites the last 2 or 3 years and have not been able to get over the hump. And I think it's gonna come to a point this year where if they can't get into or win the AFC Championship game, especially after cutting a lot of cap casualties, they're in cap hell still. If they can't get over that hump, I think they're going to start to look at a new coach and possibly a rebuild.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you in terms of firing coaches that have good track records or playoff records. But now I feel like we're in an era, no matter what, whether it's the four major sports or any of these other rising leagues, that really, if you don't win your conference, you don't win your league, you don't win, you're not playing in the championship game, it's not a good enough. I think we're all impatient. All the money that's thrown into these franchises, I mean, it's not fair on paper to let him go, like you said, but they've only made one AFC championship in the McDermott era, and especially when the highest expectations, they couldn't even get out of the divisional round. So I think it's just time's not on his side for that. So big, very big season coming in this. And yeah, I definitely have some holes you're missing. And maybe, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they move up for a wide receiver, you know, to try and get one of the top guys. Maybe not, you know, Odunze, Neighbors, or Harrison, but up to O'Brien Thomas Jr., up to a Ladd McConkey, to try and get one of those top guys, because they need a receiver who's going to come out and produce day one. And I think we're getting into receivers who are going to be good, but they're also going to need some time to develop. So I wouldn't be surprised if they move up for a receiver.
Excellent work. Excellent work. I wouldn't be either. Now we have the Detroit Lions. How about this? The Detroit Lions picking deep in the first round. They're picking at 29. Very close to getting to the Super Bowl. Just didn't pan out that way. This is a great opportunity to add to a very stacked roster on both sides of the ball. What can the Lions do to maybe get over the hump? Maybe pick somebody who, if he was on the roster, could have beaten the 49ers. This is a big pick for the Lions. I'm excited to see what you think they're going to do to improve their roster.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised with a wide receiver here. I mean, obviously, Josh Reynolds was good down the stretch. Jameson Williams is starting to come into his own. But outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown, they don't have that real 1B, like 2A kind of guy. But I think they're going to go corner here because another one of the top, I think corners are going to drop in this draft. They're going to really fall just because of the sheer amount of offensive players between the tackle, the wide receiver, and the quarterback position that are going to go. You're going to see a lot of very good defensive players fall into the second round of the late first. And they're going to take a guy who really fits their scheme. Terrion Arnold from Alabama, he is a real true press corner. He's a man-to-man, bump-and-run kind of guy, and he's going to fit that bite-your-kneecaps-off kind of system that they're running there in Detroit. And so I think they're going to go defense here, and I think they're going to go corner.
The good thing here, especially for the later rounds, especially in the second round, if you could get a first-round, a talent, a first-round talented, somebody who's talented enough to be picked in the first round, and if you get him in the second round and get him at a more affordable price, that's only more to the strategy for the GMs. That's a good thing that would excite the GMs, especially if you are, if this is a very heavy offensive round one. For round two, for the defensive side, you're going to get a lot of great players at much better prices.
And don't be surprised if you see Detroit in the second round come up into the earlier second round for a guy like Xavier Leggett, Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, a true wide receiver too for them, who is in most years would be a first round pick, but because of the depth of this draft are going to be available in the early second round that they may come up and get. But I think they're going to go defense with their first pick because their offense has been very good the last 2 years. The defense has been holding them back some. You see that in that second half against San Francisco. And I think adding to the defensive side in the first round is what they're going to do because they can still get a first-round grade wide receiver in the second round.
This is going to be a special season for Detroit. I really think so. I really feel it, man. And with the Ravens picking at number 30, what are they going to do?
I have them taking Xavier Worthy. I mean, the Ravens have not been able to draft wide receivers. I mean, Zay Flowers was very good last year. They hit on that pick, but they, you know, OBJ's gone. They need a wide receiver too. And I think Zay Flowers is very much an underneath, get him the ball on screens, get him the ball and let him move kind of guy. Xavier Worthy is a guy who can take the top off your defense. I mean, he has concerns about his hands, things like that, but I think they're going to let Lamar rip this year. The former Georgia Todd Monken is their offensive coordinator. He ran an air raid system at Georgia, and I think they're going to bring in a guy like Xavier Worthy who can take the top off of defense.
All right. All right, all right, all right. Definitely need that. Definitely need that. Your NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers, went as close as getting to the overtime period of the Super Bowl, coming up short. Is there anything they could do with the 31st overall pick to prevent them from getting into an overtime period? But if they were to get there, they would be a huge game changer and maybe finally get over the hump and win their first Super Bowl now in over 30 years.
Now, if they trade Ayuk, they could take a first-round wide receiver. But I think they're going to go. It's not a sexy pick. I think they're going to go with Amarius Mims, tackle out of Georgia, and they're going to fortify that offensive line across from Trent Williams. and a guy who will eventually take over for Trent Williams at the offensive tackle position and keep Brock Purdy upright. Brock Purdy is not the athlete. He's not going to wow you with his legs. He's not going to wow you with his escapability of the pocket. So if you can get another guy to keep him upright in the pocket and to deliver the ball, that's going to be huge for your team.
Mm-hmm. Hey, they need it. They would really, really need it at that point. And last but not least, the Chiefs, traditionally your Super Bowl champions, always picking last in the first round. They've had quite an off season. You know, they've had some issues with some players, legal issues, but they did extend the GM and Andy Reid all the way to 2029. What could they do to try to ease things as they try to become the first team ever to win three straight Super Bowls and complete the dynasty? What are the Chiefs going to do with the last pick in the first round?
Well, I think they've been trying to replace Tyreek Hill since they traded him. Sky Moore has been a bust. Rashee Rice was better down the stretch last year. Not great, but better down the stretch. But now he has legal issues. We don't know how long he's going to be suspended for. You know, if he ever may play again, I mean, with all the injuries he caused, possibly driving drunk. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to go wide receiver here.
Yeah.
We've already had a lot of wide receivers off the board. And they're going to take a guy who Mahomes is going to be able to rely on in Ricky Pearsall from Florida. A lot of people don't have him over Leggett and Roman Wilson. I do. I think he's a guy who runs a great route tree, and he has very sure hands. He's going to be a great target for Mahomes. It's going to be a guy that Mahomes can go to. He knows he's going to catch the ball, and he can trust him. And that's been an issue for this Chiefs offense, a lot of drops from the wide receiver position. Ricky Pearsall does not drop the football. And I think Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going to love him, and they're going to take him at the 32nd pick here.
All right. Good stuff there. Now, Spank. There are seven rounds in the NFL draft, and as much as I would love to go through the rest of them, we only have so much time. But in terms of the other six rounds, is there anything you want to highlight? You want to talk about where Bo Nix is probably going? What teams are going to do? I know the Cardinals have something like 10 picks in the first 150. Is there anything else from rounds 2 through 7 that people should look out for?
I think Roman Wilson, even after the Chargers trade back and go wide receiver in round one, I think Roman Wilson, I do not be surprised if you see Roman Wilson even in round one if the Chargers trade back. I think Harbaugh is going to take a lot of Michigan guys in this draft, including Roman Wilson and Blake Corum. So don't be surprised to see them as taken a little higher than you would expect because the Chargers take them before anyone else can get to them. Xavier Leggett is a very, very interesting prospect to me. I think he's going to be a very good wide receiver, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, go to Detroit. I like Xavier Leggett to Detroit. Would be a great complement to Amon-Ra St. Brown, and the offensive line. We didn't get very many interior offensive line in the first round. The second and third round loaded with interior offensive line. I think that'll be a big day for the big boys up front is round two, day two. And that's about it. I mean, the safety class is very deep in rounds 2 and 3. So I think that's going to be a big day for the safeties. So like I said, safety, wide receiver, interior offensive line are going to be your big day 2 and 3 picks. And we're going to see a lot of quarterbacks in the 4th through 5th rounds. Jordan Travis, Michael Pratt, Spencer Rattler. Going to see a lot of guys in that area.
Awesome. And also, you know, you mentioned about at first you had Bo Nix in the first round, but you changed that with the Zach Wilson addition for where you think he would get picked by the Broncos. You also think Bo Nix later rounds, 4 through 6?
I think Bo Nix will be a second round pick if he doesn't go in the first. I wouldn't be surprised to see someone who needs a quarterback come up at the end of the first round for him. I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos do take him anyway, because if they think Zach Wilson can play, they may have Zach Wilson to start and Bo Nix as a, they'll ease him in. But I think Bo Nix is going to go in the first or second round. I think we'll see six quarterbacks in the first round, whether the Broncos take him or not.
All right, good stuff. Well, we hit it right on the nail. It was a fantastic, productive conversation going through the NFL draft of 2024. And a week from today, we will react to where things actually wound up. And hopefully we hit most of them here with the great Spank, a.k.a. Kevin Schaefer. Great work. Thank you so much for taking the time to do the research for this. Between me and all the listeners, we really appreciate it. And let us see where this all unfolds, and we'll react to it next week. Thank you so much, Kevin.
See you next week, Matt.